Good afternoon, folks. My name's Craig, and this is the Over the Fence show here on Oregon Community Radio 98.1 FM and Free FM 89.0. And welcome to all our listeners on listening back to the podcast on the regularradio.com website and Free FM website, no doubt, as well, and Spotify and all those sorts of things. Either way, you're taking the show. I hope you enjoy it. It's going to be a short and sweet show today, folks. I've got another thing I've got to do, but I will be interviewing very shortly Frieda Keegan from Perma Dynamics. So that'll be interesting. So that's coming up pretty soon. So I'll give her a ring shortly. In the meantime, here goes Sneaky Feelings, Trouble with K.
Though it's hard to believe that it ever could matter, it certainly does to her. K doesn't want to keep up with the changes. She likes things the way that they were. I'm feeling alright, I just want to go on, but that pushes her over the edge. I don't know what she feels the problem to be. Well, the trouble in me is she's scared. The trouble with K is she's scared. Is she scared? Bus after work is the part of the day that I finally get on my own. And I wish I could tell you the brilliant ideas that have vanished before I get home. And once I get home, well, I know it's not long till we've both got a reason to shout. Charlie, most of our worries are things we shouldn't even be thinking about. The trouble with K is she's scared, she's scared. It's gotta stop now, 'cause it's wearing me away. And it's not because of her so much. No, it's not because of Kay. Maybe I'd have fixed things if I had told her. But my heart's grown heavy and now my arms are too tired to hold her. One of these days she'll wake up with a start and she'll find that there's nothing to love. Maybe that'll stop her from picking up me when you know that it comes from above. You know that there's nothing to love, not to love.
That's the Sneakies there with Trouble with K, and now I'm going to play for you Dave Google. Looks like I'm running out, and all going well, we'll come back with our guest, Frieda, straight after this. right, folks. There we was. There was David Kilgore there with Looks Like I'm Running Out. And now we're joined on the line by today's guest, Freda Keegan from Permadynamics.
Hey, thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, no worries. Okay. And how are you going today?
Yeah, pretty good, pretty chill. We're just enjoying the sun. We've just come into Whangarei, into town for a bit of a mission around. But yeah, otherwise pretty keen to get back home onto the farm.
All right. Yeah. And your farm is where?
Our farm is Permadynamics, and it's out at Matapori, sort of 45 minutes north of Whangarei.
Is it like straight north or out towards the coast a bit? Or
out towards the coast, so out Turukaka coastways.
Very nice, yeah, very nice. Mean. Yeah. And yeah. I guess let's start. Tell us a story about the property and how it all came about and things like that.
Yeah, cool. So the property was originally a sheep farm about 30 years ago when the original members of the community there, so it's a sort of land owned by multiple people as a trust.
Right.
And that was originally purchased, 30 years ago as a sheep farm, and it's been a sort of huge transition process over the last 30 years regenerating that section.
Okay.
And so, yeah, so starting out steep kaikuyu, slope, clay, all of those gnarly situations.
Yeah.
And so my family joined that piece of land about 15 years ago, and so on starting, we were basically in that situation and applied a lot of the methods of regeneration and specifically centropic agroforestry, which I'm sure we'll talk about later.
Yes.
To regenerate that land. And so for the last 15 years, I've been working the land and transforming it into the rather oasis of a jungle that it is now. So we're producing bananas and chirimoyas and lukuma and all tamarillos in amongst a whole load of natives in an environment that once was just clay and kaikuyu. So it's been quite a point of inspiration for us and a lot of people out. So, yeah, that's the main focus of our farm is researching different ways in which we can apply different techniques, regenerative techniques, to transform landscapes and then educate and replicate that out for people. So that's our current sort of family business and farm structure as Permadynamics.
Fantastic.
And, it's been existing for the last 15 years.
Yeah, all right. And so I presume your mum and dad must have got over there and how old were you? Were you born on the property, do you remember, or...?
No. So I was actually born in South America, in Bolivia.
Oh, yes.
So my parents met and grew up there since I was 8. And then we moved over to New Zealand in 2003.
Right.
And, landed on that piece of land. And then my parents have been cultivating that since, like I said, the last 15 years. And I grew up then on that land until about the age of 18. And then I went off travelling and went to uni. And it's only really been in the last 6 years that I've rejoined on the farm and help set up Permadynamics as more formally a business.
Yeah, okay then. And is there a distinction between permaculture, say, and Permadynamics?
There is, yeah. So Permadynamics, even though a lot of people do interpret it as like a technique in itself, it's more our business name. So permaculture has definitely been a huge inspiring for that.
Mm-hmm.
Being part of the name, so permaculture being perma, and then dynamics integrating the centropic dynamics element to it. So, yeah, it's a bit of a name in honor of the two main principles that we integrate into the way we do things there. Yeah.
All right. And I presume this is something, obviously, you're developing, I guess it'll be sort of environment specific, a lot of the stuff, but is there a general sort of idea behind it, which, I don't know, maybe sprung up in South America or something like that, is there?
Yeah. So there's a Swiss farmer called Ernst Gotch. He applied a lot of observation and integrating of different techniques in South America where... Yeah, and specifically in Brazil, where, you try something and then within a few years you know your mistakes because everything grows so fast. So it's a great place to sort of start and learn these principles. But basic framework or foundation is that it's a way to fast-track the regeneration of land purely with the use and tight succession of plants.
Right.
So you assess soil and existing vegetation, and then you sort of read and assess where the land wants to go, what's the potential of that piece of land, and then you apply set techniques and philosophies into that, that helps transition that land into its full expression of its potential. So, for example, instead of spraying gorse and pampa grass and tobacco weed, you would look at what is the current situation, what are those plants actually contributing to that space. Gorse might be, you know, putting nitrogen into that soil, being a nitrogen fixer. The tobacco weed is, and the pampa grass are able to fixate and mine and make bioavailable the phosphorus in the soil and mobilize that to enable other plants to use it. So instead of
I didn't realize that about tobacco weed and that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, so not to say that we would ever plant them, but if it's an existing situation, instead of spraying them and then therefore slipping further down, you know, the scale of root degeneration of the soil, we would work with those plants to create redundancy rather than eradication.
Yeah.
So we're actually working with the flow of nature towards abundance rather than starting with the sort of clean slate approach that we're so attracted to as humans.
Yeah.
We sort of work with what's existing there and then work towards potential. So, you know, within a few years, there's no tobacco weed or gorse growing in that area, not because there's no seeds there or there's no neighbouring plants that have it, just because the soil is too good for that situation. It's moved a next step in the phase of succession of the soil. So, yeah, in a nutshell, that's a lot of the philosophy that Ernst practiced and integrated in and observed a lot in Brazil. And so my father was studying with him way back in the 80s there, helping to plant out 250 hectares of really degraded soil. Like, not even cattle would eat the grass that was there. It was just toxic.
Gee whiz.
And within a few years, he completely transformed it, and now he's growing one of the best cacaos in the world, just through carefully managing the different succession of plants and observing things and making sure things are in the right phase of succession.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really interesting, isn't it? I wonder how the climate up in beautiful Northland up there where you are, I wonder where that compares to somewhere in South America. I'm just trying to think.
Probably more like the higher up in altitude around Cochabamba, which is actually where I was born. That's actually more of a subtropical climate.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's like a home away from home, basically.
yeah, a long way from home, yeah. But New Zealand feels like home now. It's beautiful space and nicely. Got lots of roots in the ground, both physically and lifestyle-wise.
Yeah, right on.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. And when did you guys decide, we'll start doing some education around this?
Yeah, neat. Well, it's sort of Klaus originally, so that's my father, Klaus. He was teaching at the Polytechnic here in Whangarei. And then, so 6 years ago when I came home and with a, you know, growing passion, burning passion to spread this knowledge and just appreciation for the level of the depth of knowledge that Klaus has and experience that he's brought and what he's achieved on our very extreme piece of land. It was a big passion of mine to come home and find ways to unpack a lot of that knowledge and put it in ways that is approachable for people and able for other people to apply it onto their piece of land. So then we started actually holding courses at home. So he stopped working at the Poly and we were all home-based and started running our first food forest courses. And then since then, there's just the demand's just been really growing and the interest, and we've had lots of success from students applying it on their piece of land and having huge transformation of their soil and fertility, and that's just sort of word of mouth just rippled around. And then we've had a few documentaries done on us, one on Country Calendar and one on Happen Films. So since then we just have a really growing demand for people wanting to learn this method of transforming soil, because I mean, as we all know, all our soils are so heavily degraded, and a lot of our mass agriculture is just working towards desertification rather than regeneration. So there's a huge pull and a need for people, I think, to be able to apply these techniques and transform their soils. So it was a pretty easy step to go into education, especially also because our land situation is, even though we do produce for the market and we do have a lot of produce, not, you know, set up for production side of things. So our focus is mainly on research and applying these techniques so we can create templates and sort of identify plants that work together in a particular dynamic that will then be successful for people so they don't have to do that research and they save time to be able to apply that and hit the ground running if they want to do more on the production angle of things.
Fantastic.
And it's our passion to teach as well. We just love passing the message on and teaching. And also since then, it's not just been myself that's joined the family. It's actually now a whole dynamic of all six of us. So my parents, Carson, Essie, myself, my brother, his partner, Matty, and my partner, Sean. So,
right on.
Yeah. Like the quote goes, there's no success without succession. So, yeah, clearly.
Ooh, I like that.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And, thinking about coming back, I guess, because, you know, I'm interested in psychology and things like that. And I know there's a lot of instances now happening where you're not getting the next generation coming back onto some farms and things like that. But you felt inclined that way. And I know there's a big, well, not a big, but and there's not much research around it. But it's interesting how, organic and sort of regenerative farmers and what you guys are doing up there, permaculture sort of styles and that. There seems to be a lot more of the next generation coming back onto those style of farms, which I find really interesting.
Yeah, I guess it's just a level of stimulation there when you feel like what you're doing is aligned with, you know, what that land wants to become, and you're doing things good for the land, and you're also building resilience and community spaces. Yeah, there's a sort of certain level of peace that comes with that when you feel like what you're doing is a contributing to the betterment of the environment you're in. So I think that's a lot to do with that, potentially.
Yeah.
I know that to be true for myself anyway, and I never got pressured at all. There was no expectation to return onto the land and take up, you know, the mantle of my parents or anything like that. It was just purely from the heart that I wanted to come home. I saw my parents have such a fun and enjoy the lifestyle so much that for me it just made sense to come back and contribute to that and help share it and hope that other people can benefit from that way of living.
Fantastic. Yeah, that's great. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure most listeners would have heard of permaculture and things like that, but syntrophic agroforestry.
Mm.
All right, run us through that one, Frieda.
Yeah, so syntropy being complexity, life, evolution, entropy being simplification, degradation, so basically working with life flow for complex to become more complex and abundant. That's the root word of syntropy, and then agroforestry, obviously, weaving in plants into that space. So it's a framework language in which to transition landscapes into abundance, and there's different principles within that, like strata, so understanding the different layers in which plants grow due to their sun requirement, not necessarily height, so we can best meet their needs. So instead of having everything in a monoculture where then we have to come in with either a microfilm over the top because they're going to get sunburnt or frost, we do that with another layer of plants above that can provide that while not taking away from our crop plants, but actually potentially being a whole nother crop or providing that ecosystem in which they can then thrive. And so we're basically working with the niche of one plant, then fulfilling the needs of another, and therefore creating this whole system in which we then can just be sort of orchestrate that system rather than be, you know, the sole people trying to make it work and then have to pour in inputs after inputs after inputs only to see that wash away. We're working to build the natural capital of the land, so that it becomes a sort of robust system of itself that we just partake in, but we're not the sole drivers of. So we've just become a part of that system.
Wow. Fascinating stuff, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you see it so often, you know, like coming back to, you know, Raglan, for instance, where you guys are, you know, there's so many farms there that for decades have been pouring nitrogen and phosphate on the land because, you know, that's what fertilizer is needed to make things grow, and it's an essential nutrient for plants. Yet, in doing so, in considering that the soil is quite acidic and high in iron, all those things get locked up and then are unavailable to the sun. So then you're constantly relying on that input to, you know, to prop up whatever agricultural system you have in that space. So in a syntropic way, we would actually work with plants to achieve that same outcome in the way that then wouldn't require us to continually have to put inputs in. So we'd be planting things like, for example, the Tetonia, the Diversifolia, the perennial Mexican sunflower, the big plant that we use, and that naturally unlocks phosphate from the soils and makes it bioavailable. So by planting that in into our crop systems or into our silver pastures, we can then actually unlock those minerals in the soil and then achieve that without having to constantly rely on extension.
Fascinating stuff, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it must be really interesting weaving it all together, and you know, it's experimental, right? I guess for the main part, anyway, for on the earlier years. But I guess you know you're always learning stuff, right?
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, it's constant. You're constantly learning, and that's the joy of it. You know, it's very stimulating in that front. There's constantly new things to learn and whatnot. It's very observation heavy. So it's about observing what's going on before we integrate and interact with what's there.
Yes, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
All right. And you are having a course down here in Whangaroa. Now, you want to tell us about that?
Yeah. So my partner Sean and I, we're particularly passionate about, holding more workshops in different areas of the country, in particular to sort of encourage communities to be able to come together and learn together and therefore share that knowledge or the plant resources ongoing from there, because you know, it can be a bit of a lonely thing when you're sort of embarking on something yourself. And, you know, some of the ideas and principles that we teach are quite, you know, what's the word? Not radical, but paradigm shifting.
Yes.
And so it's nice to be able to do it with a community or within a community that then you have that mutual sort of networking going on. So that's something that we're really passionate about sharing and doing. And so, yeah, coming to Ragland end of the month, and teaching a little workshop there and doing a bit of a food forest install. And, yeah, and I'm really excited.
Fantastic, yeah. And whereabouts is it down here, do you know, off the top of your head?
It's at our friends Paul and Alyssa's, just out of Ragland Central, yeah.
Okay. Well, that's nice and handy. Yeah.
Yeah.
And are there still tickets available for that one, do you know, or...?
I believe so, yeah, there's a few left.
Okay.
Yeah. And also, you know, if there's anyone interested in other areas or they have missed the one in Ragland, you know, we're always keen to get on the road, so happy to hold another one or Auckland or anywhere around as well. So, yeah,
all right.
Always happy to meet the interest.
Yeah, well, right on. And you do a few on your place as well, obviously.
Yeah, we do. We just had one this last weekend, actually. We won't be holding any courses over winter. We're expecting another baby in the family. Maddie's pregnant at the moment, so...
Right on.
So we're probably going to lay low for a little bit, just enjoy that family time, and then come spring, summer, we'll be holding workshops again, and also in a diversity of other ways as well. So we've got a strong centrally agricultural focus, but also... other passions in the family are no-till market garden and also earth building and natural building. So,
right,
we've got that integrated in as well.
Okay, so the natural building you'd use make like co-op house styles, like using the clay from the farm or whatever, I guess.
Yeah, using resources from the land to build naturally. So lots of clay, wattle and daub, or earth buildings and structures, and you know, learning about different. Timbers and which ones are more, you know, rot resistant and all that. Yeah.
Okay then. And I guess, do you have your own nursery on the property?
We do, yeah. So that's Sean Forte. So he's really vamping up our nursery, and so we sell a lot of raw material mainly. I mean, we have some, you know, potted plants and all that for installs and whatnot at home that we sell on courses. But in terms of sending it out to people, our main focus is sending bulk raw material that people can then propagate and plant themselves, just to make it a bit cheaper for people too.
Right on.
Yeah.
Wow, it's really exciting. So, and what can people expect from the workshop you're doing down here in Whangaroa at the end of the month?
Yeah, neat. So, yeah, our main focus for down there is giving the foundations of what syntropic agroforestry is, its origins and its contributions to the world. its potential, particularly in Raglan, and also, just guiding people how different alternative ways to deal with weeds in a more progressive way that can further transition that soil so we can avoid resorting to things like plastic or chemicals, which just, kill that, soil life and just slip us down again in soil degeneration. So, that's sort of our focus, is how to give the foundations, help people with their different situations, whether it was soil structures, vegetation, what it may be, and give people an idea of the way that we plant in density, highlighting the different principles. So, like I mentioned, the strata and then succession, so the succession phases of soil development, and also life cycles, so understanding how we can stack a multitude of different plants within a small space based on their different life cycles, so when they come into maturity and when they phase out, and being able to, basically fit in a lot of plants in a very tight space when we understand those three key factors. And then from there, implementing a food forest system, learning different sort of planting techniques for more robust growth, and then also some management side of things, so sharing our different tools that we use that make that whole work far more efficient. And then looking at different layouts of the land and how to best read those situations and creatively come up with ways to bring them into productivity.
Fantastic. Well, it sounds a very wide-ranging and comprehensive sort of thing to attend.
Yeah, we like to think so,
All right. And when's the times and dates and things like that again, and where do you get your tickets and things like that
so,
for this one?
Yeah, so it's the next weekend on, so that's the, let me just look at the, make sure I've got the right date. Yeah, the 27th, 28th, so that's the Saturday and Sunday.
Okay.
Of this month,
Right on. And you get your tickets, so you just turn up at the place, or you get them off your Facebook page, or I'm looking at your beautiful website now as it goes, and I can't see it on there, but yeah.
Mm. Yeah, no, it's not on our website, just because it's an off-site one-off workshop, but if people give us an email through our website at permadynamics.nz@gmail.com, you'll see it at the bottom of our website as well.
Yeah.
That's a easy way to just get in contact if you're interested. Our website being, permadynamics.co.nz, so that's permadynamics.co.nz.
All right.
And on there as well, you'll see another part of our education sector is doing a lot of stuff online as well. So we've got a community sort of space on there, which is global. So we've got people from all over the world that are joining, which is a really nice way to learn from different climates and different plants all over.
Fantastic.
And it's just a space that we contribute a weekly video, quite in-depth about what we're doing and different angles and different parts of our farm and what we do. And then it's a chance for members there also to share photos and ask questions, and we do live Q&As and all that as well. So, it's always fun too.
Yeah, it must be really rewarding building a community like that as well,
It is, it really is. It's a nice place to grow and contribute to and feel like, you're doing collective learning with everyone else's contributions as well.
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah.
All right, well, I've got to sort of rush back to this workshop I was doing for you, unfortunately, but, I feel like we've got plenty more to chat about, but I might get you on in another few weeks or something if you're keen and get a bit more of a chit-chat. Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
And thank you very much for your time. Really appreciate it, Frieda. And, good luck with I'll try to get along to the workshop if I can, but anybody else who's interested, it's permadynamics.nz@gmail.com. Is that the right one?
That's one, yeah.
Yeah, for the upcoming thing in Whanganui. It's a beautiful website too, like I said earlier, folks. So go check it out. And, good luck with it all, Frieda, and thanks very much. And we'll be back in touch at some stage.
Cheers, mate. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, really appreciate it. Enjoy the beautiful north.
Yeah, will do. Likewise.
All right. Take care, right? Thanks again.
Yeah, likewise.
Ciao. Ciao. Bye. Go get there. All right, folks. That was Frieda Keegan there from Permadynamics up in the beautiful north there. And yes, short and sweet the show today, folks. We've got to rush off. I've got to get back to a thing, which is a pretty...
I've got to go and do it anyway, but I might talk about that at another stage of the game, but I've got to go for now. So, ka kite, folks. Have a lovely rest of your day, and I'll be back again next week. Probably. Have a good one.